Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Again, everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm living the dream, you know, having a good day. Very, very busy recently. We've got actual Bulls news to talk about, which is exciting. And for us, this is maybe the first time we've ever recorded right after meaningful news, like. Normally we're like a week late, so I'm excited to get
totally
something
out. Happenstance too, yeah. Right? Because we had planned. I shot you a text like, "Hey, can we just talk today?" You know, I wanted to have a quick show on the Bulls game, on the Bears game, and suddenly I get the news. Oh my gosh, he signed! So this is perfect. So wow. Well, let's get right into it. 4 years, $25 million per year is the average. I didn't see any details on if it's rising or falling or, you know, just basically I did see it was guaranteed 4 years.
Yeah, no options.
No options. I didn't get a chance to mention this. I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to get on the CHGO show on Friday, 1 week after you. And it was awesome seeing Will and Big Dave. Shame that Matt Peck wasn't there, but it was still just a great experience. And why was it? I just wanted to throw that out there and say, listen, hey, he wants 30, the Bulls want 20. Let's just split the difference and call it a day. Because I am definitely not of the belief that we should let Josh Giddey walk at the age of 22 for nothing, you know, or have him sign a qualifying offer like we did with Ben Gordon in 2008-09 season. I'm very happy. I think this is at the high end of where, after, you know, the negotiations broke down, that I expected to get to, and it's fine. $25 million per year, what say you?
I believe I said in June the max I would pay Giddey is $25 million a year. And when they first threw out the numbers, I said it sounded to me like the Bulls picked $20 million because Giddey picked $30 million and they wanted him at $25 million and that they picked that number on purpose because psychologically people like to meet in the middle, even though, you know, like you could just be like, well, I want $1, so let's meet in the middle at $15 million. Clearly that's not going to happen. But I think all along the Bulls wanted to sign at this number, like they would have signed him for even less if they could. But I think their offer was targeted towards getting to this point in the negotiation eventually. And I'm not even remotely surprised that this is the number we landed on.
Are you happy, though, after to see that this front office progressed and got aggressive in a negotiation and just didn't nod their head like they did last year with Patrick Williams?
Happy is maybe a bit of an overstatement because I still would have pursued a draft strategy, you know, aiming for draft picks rather than building around Josh Giddey. But of the different alternatives that they were reasonably going to do, I think this is a good one. I'm glad it wasn't 3 years. I'm glad they didn't cave in on a player option, which seemed like it was going to be a legitimate possibility. I'm glad they didn't cave in on his price. I don't think Josh was going to sign for less than this amount of money based on a lot of things, but I mean, who knows? So I think this was the deal to be made. So, yeah, it's fine. Like, if you're going to bring back Josh Giddey, I think this was about the best you could reasonably expect to do it on. They had that athletic survey where they surveyed, I think it was 16 different teams, and there are 7 that said they would sign Josh Giddey to $25 million a year or something like that. And so, you know, I think this was like the market value of what was out there. Clearly, Josh had every reason to think he would get this much money or more if he took the qualifying offer. And so, you know, I think this was the deal to be made if you want to make this deal. I think we're on a path to kind of mediocrity again, and we're still aiming at play-ins overall. But for this individual contract, I think it was a good signing. And I think that's how I feel about a lot of things with AK in a vacuum. Like, a lot of the moves seem fine, but it's like, how do they stack on each other to do something? And that's where I get get lost in what he's doing. I don't think anything stacks on each other. And we'll see what they do to stack on this, because, you know, Josh is on a pretty good contract relative to his production, but he's still a very difficult player to build around. Hopefully his shooting comes back really strong and he can continue to progress there. That would make a big difference. And then maybe this is a really good value contract that you could even trade down the road if that becomes true.
No doubt. If he just remotely plays anywhere near like he did in the last 20 or so games at the end of last season, it's a value contract in year one. Like, a player of that quality, he's already better than several guys that I think are making 30, 32. I'd rather have Josh Giddey than Quickly. I'd rather have him than several players that are making more money. And if he continues on that trajectory at the age of 22, this is going to be a value contract for 4 years. He's going to be a player that I think, this is a little bit of a tougher question. Like, who's going to want to come here with him as a primary ball handler? I think you can build a really good team around him. I definitely would need to go in a defensive direction in the front court. But what I'm really most excited about is you now have Josh Giddey on a cost-controlled contract. You have Modest, who's hopefully going to progress and be under cost control for the next several years. I think the Bulls could be in position with a lot of cap space opening up, and a lot of this is dependent on what happens with Coby White, but to really aggressively go after some really good front court, defensively minded players and build a roster around him, kind of like Atlanta has built around Trae Young. And I think it could be something special. I think there's an outside chance that this could turn into something really, really good. And I will state that this year, this contract, again, if he plays like he did at the end of last year, will only be, in terms of value, outsized by Coby White making $12.9 million and making the All-Star team later this year at the age of 25. What say you?
What if he plays like the first 50 games of last year?
Well, then that's... that's not as exciting, and that's very sad.
Can I bring up all your quotes about Josh Giddey over the last year about how Oklahoma City had the perfect team around him of defenders and shooters and still couldn't do anything, and then he got played off the floor?
Are you talking about my quotes?
And, yeah, all of your quotes. I think you're okay. You're a person who said all these things. Like, so, you know, whatever. And I'm okay, because
thanks, Doug.
All of the good things Josh does, if it works out. You know, I mean, like, that's where we were in this discussion the whole time, right? Like, if he plays like he did at the end of the year, this is a great deal. If he doesn't play that way, it's not a great deal, and you don't know which of those two things is true. There's reasons to think maybe either one. Clearly, the 46% from three feels like that's not going to happen. But, you know, he's also young. There's reason to think he should get better overall as a shooter, even if that short stretch is a little luck adjusted. So, I don't mean to bust your chops with that statement. It's just like, you know, things could work out, things might not work out. You know, I don't think this number was arrived to magically. Like, it's low compared to like a lot of other point guards, because a lot of those guys are viewed as bad contracts, and a lot of people would view Josh Giddey as having a lot of high risk factors. So, you know, this contract, I think, adequately takes into account those considerations. And yeah, I think it's a fine deal. Like I said, I think this was the only deal to be made that was a long-term deal. And I would have maybe chosen to sign and trade Josh Giddey somewhere else if we could get something back for him and then just pursue draft assets this year. But if you were going to do that, you should have done it last year when you had two really great draft classes in a row rather than this year. And, you know, so there's diminishing returns on chasing the draft when you keep putting it off and you don't get more assets. And so for where we are and what we're going to do, I think, like I said, this is probably the best case outcome that I thought we would reasonably get to, but it's not without risk.
I want to touch on the point you just made. You would really trade Josh Giddey. Let's be honest and be reasonable about this. Nobody's taking Josh Giddey on a sign and trade for an unprotected number one pick. I think we're both in agreement, right, on that? Nobody's going to give you that.
I mean, especially with the next not draft. One that's likely to hit, you know, probably not an unprotected pick. Someone would, but only if it was like, you know, some team that knew their pick wasn't going to land.
Yeah, Oklahoma City? Yeah, or exactly.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, exactly. That's fine. Like, you'd probably get like a mid-first-round pick.
Yes. You would prefer a mid-first-round or likely later pick protected first for Josh Giddey than signing Josh Giddey at $25 million a year.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't. I absolutely would not.
Well,
I don't think those picks are that valuable.
No, they're not. The value is not being a 38-win team again and then getting another bad pick on your own.
Oh, okay.
And then being a 38-win team again, and then getting another bad pick on your own, and then just sitting here in like 38 win team land for the next 3 years. That's like the value. Like what is like the path forward here? And that's the thing I'm questioning.
The value is you actually might have something here with a team that won 38 games last year to finish 17 and 13 down the stretch with a bunch of players that are their best players are all 25 and under, and Kobe White and Io and
Josh Giddey.
And that is growing. I completely agree with what you said over the last couple of years. Hey, we had the same team the last couple of years. Yes. And all those guys were all vets. All those guys were 30 and over, right? There is absolutely 100% room for growth for every one of the players I mentioned right there. I brought up the point with Kobe White. I don't know if anybody didn't listen to it yet, please go back and check out my CHGO show on Friday. But I thought I brought up a brilliant point about the fact that the Cavs are the only team in the NBA who are now projected to be in over the second apron, which is a death sentence to your flexibility. We're not going to get into all the specifics about what that means, but you can't. Your draft picks are frozen for 7 years. You have zero flexibility as a team if you're in the cap, especially 2 years in a row, second over the second apron. So they were the only team. The reason they made the trade for Lonzo Ball is not because they feel that Isaac Okoro is an inferior player. It's because they're going to cut and take that advantage of the Lonzo brings of having a team option that I guarantee you they won't take. So the reason I'm mentioning all this is the Bulls have gone from a team, you know, with a lot of tough contracts with, as much as we both, I think, love Zach LaVine, he was probably overpaid based on his production, no doubt Vooch is, and he's obviously on an expiring deal. I think that they've gone from a team filled with those guys to a lot of guys that I think have a much higher ceiling than what they are relative to being paid. They already proved it with Kobe White. I mean, he's making 12.9 this year. Who in the world thinks Kobe White wouldn't make 12 point much more than that on an open market? So they got a value contract there, and they got Josh Giddey at $25 million, who, if he continues to play like he did at the end of last year, is on a value contract. Isaac Okoro is on a value contract. Io is on a value contract, in my opinion. I just feel like in this environment, they're really putting themselves at least in position to do some really interesting, cool things in a weak East. And I'd rather go down that road, Doug, than, hey, let's sign and trade Josh. Let's blow this up. Let's trade Kobe for the late first rounder. Let's trade Io for a late first rounder. Let's just make all these moves that are just going to yield, you know, back to the bottom, and let's just build through the draft and wait another 4 or 5 years. That's just my opinion. What say you?
I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I completely do. But the problem is Kobe's value contract ends this year. Io's value contract ends this year. Like, going forward, the contracts are Pat Williams on a horrible contract, Josh Giddey on his deal, and we'll see if that ends up being a good deal or not. But it's a market value deal now. It's not a good contract. It's a market value contract. You had seven other teams say this was the most we'd pay. You had no teams willing to pay more. So it's a market value contract. It's not a good or bad contract yet. Then you've got a bunch of other unrestricted free agents, and then you have 1 year of Okoro, who is not viewed as a good contractor on the league. Whether you think he's a good contract is maybe irrelevant. I know you love him, and you think it's a great deal. But the league did not seem to think it was that way. Cleveland was trying to dump him and was unable to. So the league feels that deal is market value to slightly overpaid. And I'm trying to think who else is there after
Modest.
This year.
Well, we got Modest.
I mean, yeah, okay, wow, our rookie SMG? Contract is on a good deal. Hooray for us. We have good deals on rookie deals. Yeah. Yeah. Rookie contracts are good deals. I was also saying we should get lots of draft picks. You know what you get with those? Rookie contracts.
Well, hopefully one of those draft picks, do you really think is going to be as good as Miles Bouzelis? I don't. Not in the late first round. I mean, who knows?
Well, who knows what picks we would get? You don't know. But either way, my point is your rookie contracts are good deals, but you don't have a lot of good deals. Like, most of those good deals you mentioned won't be here after this year. They'll be re-signed on new market value deals, or they'll be playing somewhere else. So, you know, I don't think there's a lot of long-term to build something here. And then you're still stuck with the fact that Josh Giddey is horrifically difficult to build something better than average around for all the reasons you yourself talked about at tremendous length over the last year. So I think this is a path to do something when you say interesting. If you define interesting as a team that's better than what we've been, but less than 50 wins, I agree. And if you just say, look, we've been so mediocre and annoying for so long that I'll just be happy if we win 45, 46 games again, that would be so much better than what I've experienced the last 4 years, I'd say, fine, I totally get it. Like 4-6 wins and a 50-50 shot of getting to the second round is so much better than we've experienced over the last 4 years that if that's what you say I want, even if there's not upside from it, and we just take that for 2 years and then we figure out what to do after those 2 years and maybe we pivot in some other weird way, who knows? Like, I totally get it. But like, I don't think we're on the path to anything that has meaningful upside. And so that's kind of where it's at. And I don't think that 46 wins is remotely guaranteed either. Like, we could easily be a 36 win team. Like, Vegas has a 32.5 win team, and it's not by accident. Like, even though we both think that number is really low, like, Vegas generally kind of knows what it's doing, right? Like, they make their whole livings in billions of dollars and trillions of dollars in gambling because they don't do dumb things. So, like, you shouldn't be just discounting that as a data set. Like, well, these guys are just dumb. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Like, in a vacuum, I like this deal. Am I thrilled about where the Bulls are going? I'm not thrilled, but, I don't think they screwed this up in some, like, terrible way, which, you know, is a plus. Like, they've screwed up a lot of things. They screwed up the Pat Williams negotiation. So I think this was fine, and we'll see what happens, you know, down the road.
Well, Vegas was off by 12 last year or 13. I don't remember. They had us pretty low last year, and
I don't think so. I think they had us. I think they had us at like 38 last year.
No. They had us in the 20s. It was in the 20s. I think it was 28.
Fact check. Where's our producer? Fact check.
Regardless, all I'm saying, you make a good point too. Like, I understand. Hey, you look at this team right now. There isn't right now. I would say that guy. I happen to be far more bullish on Coby White. I pointed out that. Since COVID, they've given out the Player of the Month award to 25 players. 25 times, 12 players total. Only one of them has not made an All-NBA team or made an All-Star team, and that's Coby White because he won it in March. If he plays like that again, he will be on an All-Star team and will be competing for All-NBA in the East, guaranteed. You know, he was absolutely awesome. I went through, in preparation for this show that I was on last Friday, I went through every game he had in March, and I was blown away with how understated his performance was in that month. It was insane what he put up. 27, you know, just 27 a game. Guy was freaking unbelievable. So yeah.
All this I get stuff. It. You, yeah. are, you are yeah. blown away by all of the absolute horrific teams we destroyed.
The Lakers. Like, we beat the Lakers. Doug.
Yeah, we beat the Lakers twice. The only two that the other team was like any decent at all.
I became a Gideon right around – at the end of last year, everything you said is absolutely fair. I highlighted all these issues with him. Building around him is difficult, tap dance. And, you know, the Bulls are wearing muddy Timberlands. That's famous, all those quotes. But what changed it for me is his ability to get to the line. Like, he significantly improved that along with Coby. Those two, that asset is so understated when it comes to becoming a real it guy and a top 15, top 20 player. You don't really find many players that can't get to the line that hit that status. And they both got to the line a ton. So if that continues and their ability to
define,
draw
what do you define as a ton?
5 to 7 free throws per game is what I would define as a ton. I bet you that would put you in the top 15. Let me look it up right now.
I'm gonna look up for you what they actually did. I guarantee you
Coby was at like top 10 in the league in free throw attempts in March. He was average. He had a couple games where he was at 15 free throw attempts. He was in March, not for the year. That was an issue. But both of those players significantly improved their free throw attempts by the end of the season, which yields to, if you're hitting your free throw attempts like Coby does at 90% rate, it greatly increases your offensive efficiency and makes you a legit stud player. So looking at like Jalen Brunson. That was the other thing, too. Somebody yelled out to me, hey, Fred, you're talking about making the All-Star game. Who makes an All-Star game at 25? I'm like, Jalen Brunson just made the All-Star team last year for the first time. He's 28 years old. What are you talking about? Like, this is the first time? He's 25. He's not 30. He's 25. He'll be 25 if he makes the All-Star team. His birthday's the day after the All-Star game. So just shut up with that. Like, it's crazy. It's not weird that the guy is 25 years old and makes an All-Star team. Anyhow. Yeah, so number one in the league last year, free throw attempts. Are you there? Did you hang up on me?
I'm here.
And free throw attempts, Giannis, number one, 10.7. Shea is number two, 8.9. Trey, 7.45. Jimmy Butler, fourth, 7.3. That's what makes Jimmy Butler, without his free throw attempts, what is he? Can't hit a three? You know, I mean, he's good. obviously a good defender and a good versatile player. But
post All-Star game, you want to take a guess what Kobe was?
Kobe White finished the season at 4.1 for the season.
What do you think he was post All-Star game? Post All-Star game, what do you think he was?
Post All-Star game, I'd say.
I've looked it up. I'm asking you. He was at 5.6. Okay, post All-Star game, what do you think Josh Giddey was?
Four.
He's 4.9. So those are decent numbers.
That's darn good.
Those are decent numbers, but they're not like elite numbers by any stretch, which is what you started this conversation with.
Well, I started it within March, so I'm going to look up what he did in March specifically for Kobe.
I don't care about March. Let me put it this way.
Okay.
If those guys could play the way they did after the All-Star break, this team is going to be really great. No one believes that, including you. No one believes that. Like I think the hope is that they just play somewhat close to that level. But if that was actually who they are, if Giddey is like a 21-10-8 player, whatever it was after the All-Star break, then yeah, this is like one of the greatest contracts ever. And it's amazing, but no one thinks that's true. And he wouldn't have gotten $25 million if he thought it was true. He'd have taken the qualifying offer if he thought he could do that for a whole year and have gotten like $40 million a year the next year. Like even Josh Giddey doesn't believe in himself that much. So, you know, like whatever, the truth's going to be in the middle. We'll see what happens. But like, I'm going to hope for the best with these guys. Everything you've said is also valid. Like if they're really great, that's awesome. But no one thinks that's true.
So Kobe White finished the month of March just for that month in free throw attempts. I do want to point this out. 6.5 free throw attempts per game.
Why don't you just figure out the best game he had and just say, you know, if we look at March 23rd, when he had 15 a game, he averaged 15 a game on March 23rd.
Okay.
Like if you just want to keep like shrinking the sample size down to something that makes
it. The top 10 in the league in free throw attempts.
Okay.
So I'm pointing it out.
I'm glad he had a good month.
Right behind Jokic at 6.5. Jokic averaged 6.5 free throw attempts per game.
You know, in so September right of 2025, Justin Fields is an elite quarterback. So we got that too. You know, we just want to project out.
He's going to be elite all year because I love him.
We just want to project out small sample sizes into stuff. You know, who knows?
Hey,
I think we've beaten this. I think we. I mean, like
more free throw attempts than Tyrese Haliburton. Are you aware of that?
I do not care. Yeah. Do you think Josh Giddey is as good as Tyrese Haliburton? No, you don't. So, like, let's just not just make up.
Well, next year he will be. This upcoming season.
I guess that's fair. Fair point. I don't know. Maybe if Tyrese Haliburton got out there with a torn Achilles and like a knee scooter, he still might be as quick laterally as Josh Giddey. So.
I've really grown weary. I think we jumped the shark as a fan base. I mentioned this before in the reaction to the Okoro trade. And you know, on the show, I don't know if you – did you watch it? Did you even listen to it?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No.
I made this point. I thought it was brilliant. I got to pat myself.
One loves your brilliance more than you.
Lonzo Ball, 4 years with the Bulls, played zero games after the All-Star break. Zero.
Okay.
$80 million. He shot 36% from the field last year, and when we traded him, you thought, you know, like it was Jordan for Harold Miner. The reaction, the hand wringing, like how are we going to replace Lonzo for Isaac Okoro? I just can't get over the reaction and the universal just apathy about it, or anger almost sometimes in some quarters. And so, like my general point is, like the fan base is not aware. They don't really understand that this team is not bad. And we got better in that trade. We got better signing Josh Giddey at a fair dollar amount. Like I was worried. If we would sign him at 30, 35, which is – he can make that argument. I think we both would prefer him to Quickly. Quickly makes $32 million. You want to argue all day. That's what the market is. The Bulls were able to avoid that. They're doing things much smarter. They're doing a lot better. And, you know, so I'm a little bit more excited. I was at the hat level throwing Matt Peck frustration for a long time, but things kind of turned around for me with the Okoro trade. We beat this kind of to death. But overall, let's go into this season a little bit more positive because this is the route they've chosen. And so far, I like what they're doing on this road.
To be fair, you've liked what they're doing like every year at the beginning of the year.
That's not true.
I've known you.
I was not happy about last year, Doug.
Okay, I was maybe not last year, but every other year you've kind of liked what they're doing. And I think even last year you kind of liked that fact that like they didn't trade Zach in the summer and they let him rebuild his value. which I also think was fine.
I was outraged about what they did with Zach. Where, you remember they criticized him in the summer saying, hey, come back and keep quiet. And I all I did was complain about those moves. And what are you talking about? You know how upset I was about the Giddey trade that we didn't get a draft asset in exchange for it?
You were not happy about that.
Never more upset about an offseason than I was last year. Yeah. And all my years of covering them.
What a ridiculous thing to be upset about, too. But I'm not going to reopen that old room. We wanted to go short.
We're going
to
go down the same road every show.
We'll try and keep it positive for this year. I do also agree that, you know, and we talked about this last show a little bit. Like, the general consensus of the fan is like a trailing indicator. Like, they're really angry now.
I love it.
Because they're seeing the results of, like, all of the stuff that happened in the previous years. And so now there's no trust. There's no faith. And I think, like, someone who's not really deeply rooted in the cap and other stuff is then just looking at these moves like, oh, this is going to be a bad move or whatever, because they're used to there being bad moves. And they just don't trust the front office to make a good move. And then, and so whatever. And like, there was no championship move to be made here. Maybe to get back a little bit on your page, it's not like there was something they could do that was going to yield this amazing result, because they boxed themselves into so many corners. There's a lot of ways this contract can work out well for them, right? Like, even if Josh Giddey doesn't lead them anywhere, if Josh Giddey plays really well and you can then trade him for, you know, I said trade him now, you might be able to easily trade him in like 2 years, you know, for like 2 first-round picks if he plays well, right? And so, you know, there's lots of ways this can work out that don't involve Josh Giddey leading them to a championship, but where it still makes sense to do the signing today, because you can get more value out of the signing today than you would by doing something else. So, you know, I'm okay. Also, just to give you some credit, you are correct. You know, put this on your calendar. Doug just said Fred is correct.
We're going to make a national holiday out of this.
28 and a half wins was the over-under last year.
I told you. I paid attention.
You're right.
Thank you. You're right. 9-9 to 25.
This is one of the 93% 93% accurate tweets or whatever that you've got going on. You've done it again.
I think I just figured it out. So on 9-9-25, Doug admitted I was right, which means if you add up 9-25, 9-18, what does that equal?
But it does equal to 43, and 4 plus 3 equals 7, so there you go.
It's 43. 43 wins.
Yeah,
that's pretty
good. And 4 plus 3 equals 7. So, you know, I don't know what that means, but I think it ties into you somehow. You're all about the sevens. So.
We got to save this for the end of the season when they win 43 games. I would be ecstatic if they won 43. I think they would put them right in the sixth seed. 43 to 48 wins. I got them at 46 right now. I think this is going to be a fun year, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Speaking of, we're talking
Bears? Yeah, all right, great.
Yeah, let's go right into the Bears and wrap this up, because I got to get going a little bit. The Bears played last night, and you and I were arguing a lot. I don't even know what we were arguing about. You're so angry, and you're texting. My phone was actually like crying. It was actually shaking and crying.
Because you keep saying like this stuff. Like, oh, everyone defends everything the Bears do, and then you put up your poll, and your poll proved exactly what I said.
That's not true.
10% of the people on your poll were like, "Oh, this story is BS," and 90% had some feeling that it was true. So 90% of the Bears fans were like, either like, yes, I agree, this is true, or I think at least parts of this are true, or like, I don't care about this story one way or the other. Only 10% were like, oh, this is crap, I'm going to write about it, which is the smallest percentage of the options you gave, which is what I said. You are listening to a vocal minority when you say all this stuff.
I got to look at that poll. I don't think that's an accurate representation of what I posted. But I do want to read my actual feeling.
You're reading it? You have a prepared statement you're reading?
We should give a little context.
Sounds like an apology if you got a prepared statement. That's all I'm saying.
Tyler Dunn comes out with an article on, what day was this? Friday. Friday afternoon when I was at the CHGO show. Tyler Dunn is basically a reporter who has built his own go-long site.
He's a Packers reporter who uses sensationalistic phrasing to get clicks and appears to exaggerate grossly things that have happened. But okay.
Well, okay. Regardless, diminishing the messenger again is not going to get us to where we need to be as a fan base. I'll just start out with that, but he comes out with this article, and he actually comes on the CHGO show, and people are canceling their subscriptions because these guys had the temerity to talk about what he had uncovered. And, you know, to me, I'm going to read my statement first, and then we're going to get your statement on it. All right, here's my statement, official statement. We can't, as a Bears fan base, prefer to live in blissful ignorance about the team. None of us have direct access to coaches, decision makers, and aside from a handful of beat writers and national reporters, no one is truly on the inside. Yet every time negative news surfaces, the reaction is always, almost always, to kill the messenger from a large percentage of fans rather than examine the message, e.g. the reaction to the Tyler Dunn article. When the CHGO Bears simply interviewed the author to discuss his reporting, some fans acted as if giving him a platform was an unforgivable offense. When Sylvie was criticized for even mentioning the story on air, what he had to endure from this stupid moron from Bolingbrook is ridiculous on the air. For just bringing up the story, he gets criticized. We've, again, jumped the shark as a Bears fan base. Waddle and Sylvie was criticized for just mentioning the story on air. This shouldn't be complicated. If the reporting is true, every beat writer should corroborate it. If it's false, then you pursue libel charges. That's how accountability works. Instead, anger is misdirected at the reporter, Sylvie, when they're doing exactly what we should want them to do, providing sourced information so fans can evaluate leadership decisions for themselves. Every beat writer should be trying to verify some of these details in this article. We're all smart enough to know some of the sources are disgruntled coaches, but I want to know why Jaden Daniels has access to a VR simulator, a virtual reality simulator, and the Bears chose not to provide Caleb with one, among other things. This information is imperative to become a rational thinking fan, what say you? Only one person liked it out of the almost 1,000 that read it. There you go. That says a lot, too.
Sorry, I lost you. I lost you somewhere. Yeah, I got a little just distracted and like just checking into like, you know, what my stocks are doing, you know, while you were reading this like very long prepared statement.
What your socks are doing. Oh my God. You're watching the socks instead of listening.
No, I said stocks. Stocks, not socks. Come on. No one would watch the socks.
All right. Okay.
No one's doing that. Fundamentally, I agree with what you are saying that, you know, if something comes out, you should look at it. I do think you question the validity of the journalist that releases something. Like if Joe Cowley says something, you might think differently about it than if Casey Johnson says something. And I mean, Joe Cowley is probably actually way more respected than this guy is. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't have a good example, but if like just some random Bleacher Report guy who's doing his own thing, who's highly motivated to get clicks in all this other stuff because he's trying to sell subscriptions, puts this thing out and uses extraordinarily explosive language designed to like maximize impact in whatever. And it's clearly not balanced reporting. I think you also take that into account. So I agree with you. You want to know the truth of what happened. I don't mind that this guy wrote about it. I don't mind that CHGO guys brought him on. I think that's awesome that they got the guy. I think fans should be really interested to hear. Like, I'm with you there. I think it's totally fine that Waddle and Sylvie talked about it. The fact that some fans don't want to hear it, like, whatever. I don't agree with the take of those fans. But you can't control what some people want to hear. There's probably some people that will boycott us for, you know, me laughing at you or you calling Josh Giddey a Giddeyit for like a year and now loving him or whatever other reason fans want to boycott us, except that we are not interesting enough to like to trend on Twitter. Yeah, it just is what it is. Like people are going to take their description. I'm not going to control why someone gives CHGO dollars and I'm not going to care. You know, like they should be doing their job and whatever. If they piss some people off, they piss some people off. Only thing I disagree with you on is you say the majority of fans are like that. Your poll just showed the majority of fans are not like that. It's a very vocal, small minority. And there's a vocal, small minority of people who will be really dumb about anything. And so if you are the type of fan that sees this news and is just like outraged that someone talked about the most newsworthy thing to talk about, then I don't know what to say to you, but like probably not you should not just be listening to anyone then, because that's what's going to happen. Like when noteworthy stuff is published, you talk about it. Like, and this was noteworthy and it deserved to be talked about. It was cool that those guys got him on the show. Like I'm all for that. So I don't actually even think we're disagreeing much. The only thing I'm fundamentally disagreeing with you on is it's not the majority of people that are talking the way you're talking about. It's just a very loud, vocal minority. like the majority of people are like, oh, that's interesting or that's whatever. And your poll showed that.
Do you believe the reporting in the Tyler Dunn article about the Bears issues? That was the question. Do you believe
it? Yeah.
Yes. And I am concerned. 13%.
Yep.
Okay. No, I don't believe it. 11%.
That is the group that is potentially in your category. You should have had a thing like, no, and I'm outraged, would be actually what your category is.
But, I think if your reflexive action is to not believe everything in the article, I don't think you're a rational human.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. And so then we had like 50% of people are like, yeah, probably some of this is true and some of it isn't true.
Well, it's 11. That's the number right there.
No. 11 was the no. Yeah.
50% some truth, was like, some false. Yeah. Which is, I think is a fair answer. I probably did a poor job presenting this poll. I think out of that,
you did a fine job presenting the poll. It just didn't reflect what you wanted to, which is the vast majority of people are not outraged by this. It is a very loud minority. No, like, I don't know if you understand how loud minorities work.
Doug, the I don't care is just as bad to me as the no, I don't believe it.
Why?
How could you not care about some of the things reported? If you are a Bears fan.
What if you are a casual Bears fan and it's just not important?
No.
You're a Bulls Twitter person.
It was clear I was talking about the Bears issue. If you're not a Bears fan, you don't know who Tyler Dunn is, period. You don't answer the poll. You are saying, I don't care what Tyler Dunn says. That to me is more disturbing. That was 26.4%. So, all right, fair enough. You made your point. Even if it's 33%, which is the, I just can't even believe the I don't care. Like, I don't care some of the accusations in this article are. You don't care? You don't care that there's a quote in this article where is that quote? The one I found super disturbing.
A quote from like fired coaches that aren't there. Like, I think it's reasonable for someone to say, I'm not concerned about what a different administration that all got fired thinks about Caleb Williams.
That's not all the quotes. There's another GM's quote in this article.
Yeah, but most people, you also have to realize, most people didn't read the article because it's behind a paywall, and they only have access to the free pieces that were trending on Twitter, which was like, you know, and then like the rumors of what people said about it. And so, like, you know, it's like, I think it's a totally reasonable response. And if you really wanted to dig down to your point, you should put like, I was outraged by this, or something else. Like, that's really what you're talking about. The people who are outraged and are like, I'm rage quitting my subscriptions for CHGO and I'm, you know, flaming Waddle and Sylvie. And as I said to you over text, like, Waddle and Sylvie damn well choose who they put on the show. Like, they ask the people when you call in, like, oh, what do you want to talk about? And they're like, I want to tell you you're a moron about Tyler Dunn. So they put that guy on and then they give him like whatever, because they want there to be the controversy and they want it to be interesting radio and they want to do whatever, right? Like, they have a producer that's picking the way those topics go, and not, it's not like a balanced representation necessarily of what everyone thinks. And that's not to say I'm saying that's bad or good or bad. Like, they want to make interesting radio. That's their job. Like, so I'm not like ripping on them for that. That if I was on radio, I'd be doing the same thing. And I'm not privy to what actually happened or what people said on that show. I'm just saying, regardless of what the topic is, they are choosing a direction they go on the show, like with a producer that's picking it when they put people on. It's not like they just have no idea what they're going to get.
Yeah. I'm saying, if you read even just the free part, I mean, I'm going to read one thing from here. The quarterback process of Valiant. The Bears had the number one pick overall, and regardless what you felt about Caleb Williams, you should have at least tried to look at Jaden, gone through your due diligence on Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. And I love the quote from the assistant. I still want to 100% agree with that. And then there's a quote that I brought up to you. Anyone with eyes could see that Jaden Daniels was the better prospect. Like 75% of the world at least thought Caleb Williams was like a lock to be number one. And I would say it's even bigger than that. So no, not everyone with eyes thought that. And when you see stuff like that, like where it makes it look like this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Like, it's like if you drafted LeBron James without a big prospect or a process, like, would you be like, oh, what a moron. They just took LeBron James and they didn't even look into Darko Milicic. Like, phew, idiots. No, you'd just be like, well, LeBron James was the generational talent. And a lot of people felt Caleb Williams was that way. And so I'm not defending the process. Like, I absolutely would have put in a full process. I think I told you over text, like, I would actually have gone through Jaden Daniels and taken it. Like, I said, we should trade down for him.
All right. So in fairness to the author, now we got to be honest here, as sure. journalists or fake journalists.
Fake journalists.
The quote, I'm going to read it from you that you're referring to.
Sure.
Jaden Daniels, all right, so they go through this horrible scene where they're in the room and the scouts are discussing.
Yeah, okay, just sit, read the quote.
Yeah, the scouts are discussing Drake May, and he had set it up, the Drake May evaluation, with just horrible tape until one scout called out.
And the way this was described to me feels completely fabricated. Just feels completely.
It doesn't at all to me. I believe every word.
But I don't care. But I don't. I agree. I know you believe every word about it, and I don't care. Like, I'm just telling you.
Dude, are you kidding me? We've all been in a business situation.
No, I'm saying.
Haven't you been in a business situation where somebody's made a presentation and their presentation has a point at the end of it?
I am not disagreeing that some of it is true. I'm saying it is. I believe it's grossly exaggerated in the way it is talked about, and I think it has done so because it is. Interviewing entirely people who are fired with an axe to grind.
Well,
like there's a deep bias there. So like, I'm not saying like holistically, like everything in there is wrong. I'm just saying it's like, you got a bunch of people who are pissed at the person that they are talking about who are fired and are now talking about them. And I think that's like,
fair enough.
That as a source, like, is like, just, it's hard to take that at face value. And the way the language is, like, I agree if they said like, oh, they shaded this to in this way or that way. But then where were you as the scouting department standing up and like doing whatever? Like, I just, so anyway, well, they, whatever. I don't want to get into this.
Fairness,
read the quote. Why don't we just read the quote you said I got wrong.
One guy in the room, one brave soul. So clearly this wasn't the source of the article because this is from another scout, says one brave soul did speak up. Chris White, the team's assistant director of pro scouting that spring, called out Poles. We're dragging, now he's referring to Drake May. We're dragging this kid through the mud, he said. North Carolina's receiving corps was hurting that final 23 season. White asked his boss to show another game out of fairness, so he did. And May started gunning NFL-level throws downfield, and White spoke up again. I like that there, he said. Two narratives were now clashing. Poles didn't hit rewind on any of these plays. He just highlighted all the negative plays and was making cracks about Drake May. Inside the room, one scout recalls the mood turning tense. After a negative play, Poles made a wry comment. Dirtball there. You like that, too? Laughter picked up. The team's area scout, Ryan Kavanaugh, flatly stated he didn't believe May was very good. Poles jumped in and reset the temperature in the room. I agree. So basically, he's got a bunch of syncopants besides this Chris White just telling him and all laughing. One of the guys in the room says they made fun of him, says one bear scout in the room. They laughed. The GM laughed. Drake May off the screen and cut the tape off. All right, now we're going to get to the section that you're talking about. Now, right, in fairness, you just painted a different picture than was actually written by the author of this article. Okay, Jaden Daniels wasn't stacked much higher. The Heisman Trophy winner, who filleted defenses with horsepower the sport hadn't seen since Lamar Jackson, was never a serious contender for a number one pick. Not once, sources in the room say, did Poles open up the floor to ask a simple question. Who's a better quarterback, Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels? Jaden Daniels was clearly a better quarterback, says one scout. If he didn't want to go with Drake May, Jaden Daniels was clearly a better quarterback to anyone with an eye. All right, so that's what you were referring to. That's the scout who said that.
Okay, so the part that I was wrong about, I was actually not wrong about, just to be clear.
The part you were wrong about was actually right. There you go.
It was actually exactly what I said it was, and you just didn't bother reading. Okay,
that's
just want to make sure we're like right on par here.
That's just the scout's opinion.
So when you talk about how you just said you want to flame Poles for creating a narrative and stacking all of the things and blah 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 blah. How do you think that this article is written? Do you think it is written in such a way that like stacks a narrative that like probably doesn't really make sense and exaggerates points and like when they say things like, oh, anyone with an eye would think this, like it just It is the same type of thing, Fred, that he's accusing Poles of doing. This article is doing the same thing. It's all from very biased sources. And so again, if we go back to the big thing, I think the article is newsworthy. I think it's interesting. I agree with you that people should check it out. I also can understand why someone would look at this and say, this is a Packers guy flaming the Bears offense, team. And they're doing so with a bunch of highly biased, like, sources. They're using inflammatory language. They're like doing all this other stuff to like stack this in a certain way. And because of that, I'm also going to throw this out. I think it's reasonable for someone to do that. Now, if people are like get super emotional about it because they're like, I'm going to quit this and do whatever, like it's not me. I wouldn't do that. Like if I enjoy the CHGO guys and I don't know the Bears CHGO guys, I don't follow them. I do follow Dave and Matt and Will on the Bulls side, and I like those guys. And if they brought on like whatever the Bucks beat writer and who interviewed Jim Boylan and he like trashed all of the Bulls, like I wouldn't care. I'd be like, that's great. Like I would not like be like, oh, I'm going to ban you guys. That's just not how I would roll. So like, I agree with you. Like people are taking the stream action that feels a little crazy to me, but like whatever. I don't define what people do with their money, as we talked about last show. So, you know,
Doug, will you admit at least this, that the scout, this unnamed scout that you've been saying is apparently not, you know, doesn't agree with the consensus, happens to be right so far? I mean, there's Daniels
sure. Like obviously, obviously,
right? And he's better.
Obviously,
this year
Jaden.
So far.
Yeah, obviously, Jaden Daniels looks better this year. I'm just saying, I don't. When I piece everything together, there, I just don't have any trust in the author at all. And maybe I'm going to rephrase it this way: the way this article is written, I would normally just fully dismiss it. It's just that the article backs up a lot of things I already sort of think anyway. Like if you just said like his poll's good, I'd be like, no, I think he's terrible. Like I think he's awful. Like I've thought that the entire time he's been here. So, you know, like it backs up things I think right away. There's been rumors prior to this that we didn't have a real process around drafting Caleb Williams. I thought that was bad at the time. I was a trade down guy from that pick, even though I was in a minority. Jaden Daniels is actually the guy I would have targeted to trade down to. So, you know, like I don't. But I thought we could trade to 4 and get him, which we clearly.
Well, I wanted him to take CJ Stroud, so I guess.
So either way, neither of us
I
like
love Fields, and I
neither
love
of us
Stroud.
Like Ryan.
Both
neither
of them.
Us like Ryan Poles, right? We can leave it at that. How much
I
credit I put in this article? Yeah, I
can't
I agree
even
with
the
you.
Game extension.
I agree.
And then
I agree with
like,
you.
What about the move? Do you know how lucky it was that the Carolina Panthers somehow went from 9 after making that trade, getting a number 1 overall pick, and they had the worst record in the NFL?
Yeah, it's
you
insane.
Think that was a great move? The level of luck in that endeavor is beyond comprehension. It's like a one
I thought it was a good. I thought it was a good move anyway.
Sure. Not but, to get to number 1,
but it
it's
was
lucky.
Yeah, but luck turned it into a great move. And maybe yeah. I would say to some degree, you know, like making moves that have the chance to become great moves with luck is like one of the things good people do, right? Like you knew this was like no one thought the Jaguars were going to be good next year. The idea that they could be the worst team in the league if they started Bryce Young all year certainly was not like completely out of the question. Bryce Young looked like he had a lot of risk to him. So, you know, like I don't want to totally diminish it because I do think it was a good move. But the fact they even had the number one pick at all was like just a fluke, you know, like that. Lovie Smith won a game at the final horn, you know, for the Bulls or sorry, for the Bears, you know, to have the Texans move to 2 instead of 1 because the Texans were like all set to have the worst record until they won the last game. So anyway, you know, whatever. I don't like Ryan Poles. You don't like Ryan Poles. We're agreement on that. I think the article is interesting. I think it's newsworthy. I don't blame anyone for reading it. Actually, kudos to the CHGO Bears guys for getting Tyler Dunn on the show. I think that's a great get. You know, given this is one of the most interesting things to come out about the Bears, you know, I get why someone might dismiss it. Some people are dumb. Is that like a fair? Can you get on board with all of that? Like, we
yeah.
agree people attacking them are idiots. I just don't think it's the majority of people. That's the only thing. I don't think it's the majority of people. I think it's a small number of very loud idiots. That's it.
But we should
well, your
be
poll
taking
shows
in as much information as we can as fans
sure.
because we don't have access to it. And to just dismiss this because even if he happens to be a Packer fan, you think he's just going to make up something to sacrifice his entire credibility as a journalist?
Yes.
For what?
Yes.
For
I 100% think he will. Why? No. Because like that just works in today's
you're liable
these
then,
types
Doug.
Of people.
You're liable.
No,
to
you're
a
not
lawsuit.
Liable. You're not liable, dude. Get out of yes. here. No one is going to make you liable. Come on. You have like unnamed sources. You're a minor blog. No one's going to sue you. That's a ridiculous, ridiculous thing. You're never going to be liable for something like that. And like, what is the libel going to be? Like, there's no, what are the damages? You said like this happened in a meeting, but you're our buddy Reed Jack had a big, did you read all of Reed Jack's tweets on this?
Good friend, I didn't Jack, read it. So, no, yeah.
Go look up his, go look up his tweets on it. He goes through the full article. He talks about like a lot of the lack of journalistic integrity and why and how you know, he says all this stuff in weird ways and, whatever, but I think like, I don't know, have you not followed the news in the last like 10 years? There's a ton of people who just say really explosive things to get clicks. Like it's a whole genre of news. Like I don't think it's even remotely.
They're not going to get lost. They're not going to get lawsuit against them because they're
bloggers. Yeah, and neither this guy. This guy is not a blogger.
You're portraying him as like a journalist that has no credibility. And all I know is there are
he's like a journalist, journalist on a Substack
that I respect that have given him credibility. You can go on his site and see the people that talk about him. He's not just some guy in his basement. That's there not
are,
fair.
Dude, there are a lot of people with hundreds of millions of followers who will just say explosive stuff. Like who will just say stuff to do whatever. Like that, you know. So it just it's fine. That's just like the era that we are in. Like get attention. It's like a get attention era. So I do think a lot of times when I look at stuff, if the language they use is extraordinarily one-sided and biased and whatever, I don't tend to take it very seriously because I know this person is coming at things with an agenda, and that agenda is not actually to educate me. The agenda is to get clicks and attention. And this article definitely came with a get clicks and attention agenda, not an educate me agenda. And that,
as I said,
fine. You can look at it differently.
Writers should be following up on all these 100%. Points made and verifying 100%. Them. And
yeah,
guess 100%. What? They're not doing any of that today. We're talking about what did you think of the third down? It's such a joke. It's such
can
a
we,
joke.
Can we actually – we didn't even talk about the game because I don't even care about the Tyler Dunn thing. Can I just say like I posted on Twitter like at the first half. Like, okay. You know, I think Caleb Williams kind of sucked. And like at that point, like everyone was like, he's having a great game. It's 10 for 10 to start.
Now you're meeting the 90% suddenly with that comment because I didn't think he sucked.
I thought he sucked. Like, it's and then, like, I was just like, and I think I toned it down. I didn't say he sucked. I thought he sucked. That's what I said in the room. But I toned it down. I said, I think he looks pretty mediocre out there. Like, he was making all short passes. He had all day to throw. Like, the check downs were just, like, off. Like, none of them were on target, even though he wasn't pressured. And if they were on target, we would have had like much bigger gains. And then like the second half, they started bringing pressure. And so now he just didn't have all day to throw anymore. And then it was just a disaster. So like whatever. I also like, so I think that was my evaluation of the game. Like I think he was very poor that game. And I don't care. Like it's fine. Like it's okay that he was very poor right now. He's got to get a lot better. And hopefully he finds a way to get a lot better. And hopefully the coaching staff can help him get there over the year. Someone mentioned to me, I didn't see it. Did you see the post game with Caleb? Someone said, did you see the post game? This dude refuses to take any accountability whatsoever, but I didn't actually see it. So I don't know if that's true or not. Like what
I didn't
there?
See it. Not sure.
I heard he was wearing purple and yellow earrings as well. Which struck me as just like, wow, that's really context unaware. I don't know.
Why
this guy seems like a
what's
weird
the issue? I don't get it.
That he's wearing Vikings colors for his earrings. Like while they're playing the Vikings. Yeah, it's like people.
He loved that.
It's just, it's like it doesn't matter. It's just like a context unaware look, right? Like it's like, I don't think it matters in the grand scheme of things. And I don't know his personal reasons for doing so. So I don't like shred him for it or anything, but it's just like a, like you should know this is going to like rile people up. And like maybe that shouldn't be your goal, you know, like right now, while you've not really proven anything on the field, like maybe you should, but whatever. People have different attitudes and you know, he doesn't have to care what people think. Like, he's got $50 million or whatever. So like do whatever he wants. Like he's not accountable to me. But yeah, I hope there's like signs of immaturity and other problems there, that I hope improve over time.
Yeah. I thought he played, the first half, I thought he was fine. Honestly, he does tend to break the pocket a little bit too early, but I thought his running was fantastic. That was one of the best games I've seen him as far as taking the ball and running with it. I thought he looked incredibly fast. Yeah, this first half was fine. I mean, but after that, holy cow,
well,
it was
fine.
Did not finish well. And, you know, I know Ben Johnson's taking a lot of hit for making the call on fourth and third to go for it instead of kicking the field goal. I thought that was a great play call. He just missed too many passes. That's, it just comes down to that. And that's what happens when you're, he's 5'11 or 6 feet, you know, that's a tough thing to do.
He's got to get.
He also made some incredible plays. Like, there's no doubt the guy's just as a thrower to football. He's incredibly talented and he can do stuff on the move that's great.
I don't think so.
I think he has skills, but man, this is not going to go well.
Here's the thing. Here's the first thing I look at whether a guy is an incredible thrower of the football is the phrase you just used. Can he make long throws with accuracy? And so far the answer is no, not even close. So I think he has a lot of physical ability, like he has arm strength. He certainly has a lot of quickness. He has a lot of escapability. But as a thrower of the football, unless we're just like trying to go for distance throwing, like, I don't know, like he does not seem to have any accuracy on the long ball so far. That seemed to be true last year. It seemed to be true in the brief spurts of this game. He also seems to have the same struggles that Justin Fields did of like getting through his progressions on a timely basis. He hangs onto the ball a really long time when he needs to get it out. And yeah, we'll see what happens. I just hope all those things can be fixed. You know, like even if like Justin Fields, if game one was an example, like maybe in year five, he's going to put it together. Like it used to be guys would sit for 2-3 years before they played. And now we expect guys to be superstars right out the gate. So like, I don't expect him to be great right now, but I do think it's fine to acknowledge that there's a lot he needs to do to get better still.
On that note, I have to hit the road. DT.
Yeah, we did. We went really short, just like we said.
What's that?
We went really short.
Just yeah, like very short. How long? Let's see. Is it like an hour?
We're an hour. So.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, anyhow, it's always good to talk to you, DT. So we got a lot in there. Until next time, let's go Bulls, brother.
All right. Go Bulls. Go Bears.
Go Bears. Go Bears. Go Bulls. Let's hope they both do much better this season.
Go CHTO. Resubscribe, you people. You're crazy. Come on. Get over it.
All right, man. Sounds good. Take it easy, DT. Bye. I got to run. Bye-bye.